Alright, let's build a percussion layer that feels like it came straight off a dusty jungle dubplate, but still slots cleanly into a modern roller in Ableton Live 12. In this lesson, we're not just adding more drums, we're designing motion. We want that third layer of rhythm that lives between the kick, the snare, and the bass line. The kind of layer that makes the track feel like it's always leaning forward, always rolling, without getting crowded or messy. If you've heard those timeless DNB and Ragga jungle tracks where the groove just seems to breathe, this is a huge part of that sound. It's all about sliced percussion, ghost hits, little offbeat answers, and texture that keeps the energy alive. So first, start with the right source. Load an audio clip that already has character. A short percussion break, a ragga-flavored loop, a dusty conga phrase, rim clicks, tambourines, shakers, even a chop jungle break fragment. The important thing is that it has clear transience and a bit of grit. Don't go for something too polished or too busy. You want enough detail to slice, but not so much chaos that you end up fighting the source. Trim the clip so it loops cleanly over one or two bars. A good target is something with maybe 6 to 12 distinct hits. That's usually enough to work with. If the loop is too crowded, the groove can turn into clutter fast, especially at DNB tempo. Now here's the key move. Right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For the slicing method, transience is usually the best choice if the source is drum or percussion heavy. If it's more loop-like and you want something a bit more gridlocked, beats can work too. Ableton will turn that audio into a drum rack, with each slice mapped to its own pad. This is where the whole thing becomes playable. You're no longer just looping audio, you're performing the percussion. And that matters, because in DNB, the groove often comes from the timing and placement of small details, not from huge obvious parts. At this stage, keep the pattern simple. Don't try to fill every gap. Build around one anchor slice, something that feels like the hook of the loop. Then place a few supporting hits around it. Use ghost notes sparingly, especially on quieter 16th or offbeat positions. Save the stronger accents for the end of the beat, or for little answers just before the snare. A really useful mindset here is contrast, not density. If your main drums are already busy, let this sliced layer stay sparse and rhythmic. If the main drums are more stripped back, then this layer can get a little more animated. But either way, it should feel like a separate drum language. Not a copy of the break, not decoration. More like a conversation with a groove. Now open up a few of the keypads in the drum rack and check the simpler settings. For short percussion slices, one-shot mode often works great. If you want the slice to feel a little more direct and less stretched, classic mode can be a nice move too. If you're getting clicks at the start or end, use a tiny bit of fade, usually just a few milliseconds. Don't overdo it. We want clean hits, not softened mush. Next, shape the tone. Drop an auto filter on the percussion chain or on the group bus. High pass it so the layer stays out of the kick and sub area. Usually somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz is a good starting point, but if the source is really thick or boxy, you might go higher. If the top end is too sharp, bring in a gentle low pass somewhere around 8 to 14 kHz. You're trying to leave space for the main drums and bass, while still keeping the percussion bright enough to cut through. If the source feels too clean, add saturator before the filter. A little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, with soft clip-on, can give the layer that worn-out, slightly ragged jungle texture without destroying the transient attack. This is one of those places where less is more. The goal is not to make the percussion huge. The goal is to make it feel alive. Now let's program the groove. In your MIDI clip, think in two-bar phrases. A strong starting point is one or two offbeat hits per bar, a ghost note before the snare, and a little fill at the end of bar two. Keep the pattern supporting the main drums rather than fighting them. Use velocity as your main expression tool. That's really important here. A few small velocity changes can make the whole thing feel hand-played. Main accents might sit around 95 to 120 velocity. Ghost hits can be much lower, maybe 35 to 70. Fill notes can sit in the middle, around 80 to 100. So they stand out without sounding pasted on. And don't quantize everything into robotic perfection. A tiny push or drag on a few hits can make the loop feel much more human. That slightly loose, slightly funky timing is a big part of old-school jungle energy, and it works beautifully in ragga-influenced DNB too. Now bring in the groove pool. Start with a subtle swing, something around 54 to 58% if you want that light looseness. If you want a more classic shuffle feel, try a stronger MPC-style groove. Then apply only part of it. Somewhere around 20 to 50% groove amount is usually enough. You want the timing to breathe, not wobble out of control. A great coach note here, don't just think about where the notes are. Think about what the groove is answering. If the snare is the main statement, the percussion should reply. If the bass line lands hard on a certain beat, leave space there and let the percussion fill the gaps around it. That call and response approach is one of the secrets to making rollers feel heavy. Now let's add a second layer. Duplicate the track or create a separate one with a different texture. Maybe a shaker, tambourine, or a tiny chopped break fragment. Keep this second layer lighter and more airy. It should add shimmer and movement, not bulk. On this top layer, high pass more aggressively, maybe around 250 to 400 Hz. If needed, widen it slightly with utility, but keep that widening on the airy layer only. The more punchy, body-heavy slices should stay relatively mono and centered. That keeps the groove tight in the club, while still sounding wide in headphones. Think of it like this. One layer carries the body, the other carries the air. Now let's make the slices punch and blue together a bit more. Put drum bus on the percussion group. Use a modest amount of drive, maybe 5 to 15%. Bring transients up a bit, maybe plus 5 to plus 20, if you want more attack. Usually keep boom off or very low for this kind of layer. If the top gets brittle, use damp lightly. If the groove still feels loose, add glue compressor after that. Keep it subtle, a 2:1 or 4:1 ratio, a slightly slower attack, so the hit can breathe, and only a couple dB of gain reduction. We're not flattening the rhythm, we're helping it stick. At this point, listen in context with the kick, snare, and bass. That's where the truth is. Soloed percussion can sound exciting, but in the full mix, it needs to support the arrangement, not dominate it. If it starts stepping on the snare, thin it out. If it gets in the way of the bass, high pass more. If the layer feels tiring, simplify before you add more processing. Now for the movement. Don't leave the loop static. Duplicate the MIDI clip and make small variations. Remove one hit in bar 2. Add a reverse style pickup before a new section. Shift a ghost note slightly earlier for more push. Add a short stop before the drop. Tiny changes like that can make the whole arrangement feel intentional. Automate your filter cutoff over 8, 16, or 32 bars. Open it slightly into the drop, then close it for tension. You can also automate saturator drive so the percussion gets a little rougher before a switch. A little utility width automation can help too, narrowing the intro and opening things up in the drop. This is where the percussion becomes more than a loop. It becomes an arrangement tool. If you want a strong old-school DNB move, think in 8, 16, and 32 bar phrases like a DJ would. In the intro, maybe just the filtered top slices. Then the groove opens up after 8 or 16 bars. In the drop, keep the pattern stable at first so the listener can lock in. Later, mutate it slightly with a removed hit or a new pickup. Then in the switch up, pull it back or bring in a short edited fill. That little cycle of reveal, establish, mutate, and reset is what makes rollers feel like they're always moving. A really effective trick is to make two versions of the same 2-bar percussion clip. One version can be more open and sparse. The other can have a little more animation and one extra pickup. Alternate them every 4 bars. That gives you motion without losing the identity of the loop. Another good move is a 1-bar switch-up fill. In darker DNB, that can be way more effective than a giant riser. A chopped rag, click pattern or a reversed slice before a new phrase can hit hard without feeling too obviously electronic. Now let's lock the layer into the mix. Group your percussion tracks and check for low-mid buildup. If the layer is muddy, dip a little around 300 to 500 Hz. If one slice is poking too hard in the upper mids, make a small cut around 4 to 6 kHz. Use utility to check mono compatibility and keep the percussion a few dB quieter than the kick and snare. It should feel like motion under the track, not a second lead element. If you want a little more grit, you can even set up a parallel distortion return. Send the percussion to a return track with saturator or overdrive, then high pass the return so only the grit comes back in. Blend it subtly. That can add attitude without clutter. And if you really want to push the character, resample a good groove once it feels right. Bounce it to audio, then reslice the printed version. That can give you tiny imperfections and a more cohesive feel, which is perfect for darker rollers. So to recap the workflow, choose a dusty, rhythmic source, slice it into a drum rack, build a sparse, but moving 2-bar pattern, shape it with filtering and saturation, add groove and velocity variation, layer a second airy texture, compress lightly for glue, and automate changes so the percussion evolves across the arrangement. The big idea is simple. You're not just filling space, you're creating forward momentum. If the track feels a little dead when the layer is muted, and suddenly feels inevitable when it comes back in, you've done it right. Now, for your practice run, Try this. Take one old-school percussion loop, slice it, build a two-bar groove with a couple ghost notes, a couple offbeat accents, and one small fill, then automate the filter opening over 8 bars. Keep it mix safe, keep it rhythmic, and keep it moving. That's the sound of a timeless roller.